sort of important. That's kind of impressive. I mean, you'd like to, you know, if you were going to write a book in the Bible, you would probably want that on your resume, you know. Well, why should you have a letter in the Bible? Well, my brother happened to be Jesus, who we're talking about in this whole book, you know. I used to watch after him, or he used to watch after me. We used to, you know, get and play around, have games together. So James is the half-brother of Jesus. So here's what that means. You say, well, half-brother of Jesus. What do you mean by that? I didn't know that there were split families and stuff going on back in Jesus' day. Well, here's what you need to understand. Jesus had an earthly mother, but he did not have a biological earthly father. Now, Joseph was his adopted dad, okay? But Jesus, as we celebrated Christmas, we know he was born of the Virgin Mary when she was a virgin, conceived of the Holy Spirit. And so that means that Jesus had Mary as his mother, Joseph as his adopted dad, and the Heavenly Father as his father. So Jesus had no biological father. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit. But James, he had a father, and his father was Joseph. Was Jesus' adopted dad was James' biological dad, and his mother was Mary, okay? And so one of the things that, well, as I was studying this, and I just thought, man, well, I need to talk on this because it's important in our day, especially now, is the Catholic Church teaches the perpetual virginity of Mary. And so they teach that Mary is a virgin forever and ever. Well, the Bible contradicts that for us. And so that's a false teaching of the Catholic Church. And the reason I bring that up to you is because as we unpack this, we're going to see that Jesus had many siblings. He had many brothers. That Mary gave birth to other children, and Joseph were their father. And Jesus was the only one born of a virgin. And after Jesus, Mary had children the regular way, not the supernatural way, all right? And so what we have here is we have to get an understanding that what the Catholic Church has many doctrines that are in error. They just do. So this is one of them. But the reason I wanted to state that and just kind of bring that to light is I don't know if you know this, but right now there is a surge of young people joining the Catholic Church. Did you know that? There's a surge of young people my age, but really even down in like their 20s right now. Young professionals, college students, young married who are starting to turn to the Catholic Church, and they're going and joining and being a part of the Catholic Church. Now, I can't get into all the reasons why. I don't even know all the reasons why, but most of them, it has to do with the Eucharist and just some of the things that the Catholic Church highlights. And the reason I know this is because I have personally had encounters with people that I have been involved with, that I have had a part in teaching and talking to and being a part of their life that I know they've left and gone to the Catholic Church, and then they want to ask questions, and then, you know, no one likes the answers you give. But the reality is this. Here's what I'm trying to tell you today. You need to understand that we must totally align ourselves with God's Word, okay? And so someone may say, well, I'm thinking about going to the Catholic Church because of this one reason. We need to be able to say, well, you know, that's interesting, but what about all of these things that are just clearly in error according to Scripture? So this is one of them, okay? And so we see that James is the half-brother of Jesus. And I want to just show you a few places that just make this clear. Matthew chapter 12. And I have these there in your bulletin tonight. And so you can turn with me or you can just listen to them as I read them. That's just up to you. But Matthew chapter 12, verses 46 and 47 says, while he was still speaking with the crowds, his mother and brothers were standing outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you. And so we see it talks about the fact that he's there. It's Mary, his mother, and his brothers, and they're wanting to speak to him. And then it goes on in Matthew chapter 13, verses 54 through 56, says, he went to his hometown and began to teach them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? Isn't this the carpenter's son? Right, Joseph. Of course, we know that that's his adopted dad. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother called Mary and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, Judas? And his sisters, aren't they all with us? So where does he get all of these things? And they were offended by him. All right, so we see it's starting to unfold. We're starting to see the reality of what we're talking about tonight. You go over to John chapter 2. And in John chapter 2, verse 12, it says, after this, he went down to Capernaum, and together with his mother, his brothers, and his disciples, and they stayed there only a few days. And I want to read one more passage to you as we move on, and that's in John chapter 7. It's going to take us even to our next point, but John chapter 7, verses 3 and 5. Listen to this. Very important. This is going to take us to our next point. It says, so his brothers said to him, leave here and go to Judea so that your disciples can see your works that you are doing. For no one does anything in secret while he's seeking public recognition. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. Verse 5, look at this. It says, for not even his brothers believed in him. Not even his brothers believed in him. So here's what we know. The human author who God is working through to give us this book, the book of James, is that James, the half-brother of Jesus. And here's something that is important to note. James did not even believe in Jesus for a long time. Imagine that. There Jesus is. He's your brother, yet you don't believe in him. James and his brothers and others, they refused to believe that Jesus was the Messiah, that Jesus was the Savior. It wasn't until after the resurrection of Jesus that they turned their life over to Christ and believed in him for salvation. And so all the time that Jesus is performing his miracles, he's teaching with authority, he's doing all these great works and signs, his brothers, they do not support him, they don't believe in him, but yet after his resurrection, James does. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 7, it says, then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Right? That's the resurrection chapter. And Paul's saying, that's a whole chapter on the resurrection. And it says, after he was resurrected, he appeared to all these people, and especially he appeared to James. He went and he appeared to James, and he showed James that he was resurrected. This is a powerful testimony. I believe the book of James is a powerful testimony to the truth and the trustworthiness of the Scriptures and of Jesus Christ. We see that with the early church. We see that with the apostles. We see that with the disciples of Christ. We see that through all of these men and women who sacrificed and gave everything and were martyrs for the faith. And we would often say and remember that men and women, that many would not do and give their life and go through the suffering they went through for no reason at all. If it was all a sham, then these people were crazy. But it wasn't, because Jesus is the Savior. He is real. He is the resurrected one. And so this is a powerful testimony to this, that this man, his own blood, who did not, maybe didn't like him at certain times, who did not believe in him, who did not believe he is the Messiah, that he was probably telling everybody, don't listen to that, my wacko brother. Yeah, after he was raised from the dead and he saw Jesus, he said, you are my Lord. You are my Savior. You are who you said you were. You went to the cross. I knew you. My mother was there at the foot of the cross. Blood, she came home with blood draped over her. And you were buried in the grave, but I see you now. You are alive. You are the Son of God. And so James, he surrendered his life to his Lord. And so we see this is a powerful testimony. Acts chapter 1. Verse 14 also talks about this. There in the upper room, Acts chapter 1, verse 14, it says they all were continually united in prayer along with the women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers, right? So after the resurrection, Jesus says, go to the upper room and wait. He has ascended from the Mount of Olives, and who's there in that room? Well, his brothers. Mary, the disciples, the brothers. You say, where is Joseph at during all this time? Most scholars and theologians believe that, you know, Joseph had departed the scene. He had died. And so we see there is Mary and there is the brothers, right? They encountered the risen Savior and they trusted and gave their life to him. So that's a little bit about James. I got to speed up. We're running out of time. I want you to notice also that James was a humble man, a humble apostle of God. James was humble. Notice back in James how he introduces himself to us. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of us would have been tempted to just kind of put it out there, right? I'm writing this letter and you should listen because my name's James and I lived with Jesus. He was my brother. He didn't do that though, did he? No, because James understood that he's not in any classification at all with Jesus. That it's Jesus and here's lowly James. Because when he understood who his half-brother really was, he got right and he understood that he alone is Lord and Savior. And so he was humble. And he says, listen, here's who I am. The brother who refused to believe for a long time says, here's who I am. I'm a servant of that God. I'm a servant of God. And he doesn't say, that's my brother. He says, that's my Lord. That's my Lord. Master. And I serve him. He's everything. And I'm nobody. And I count it a privilege that he would be my Lord. And I would be his servant. And so that's powerful when we think about all that. Now, we go on to see a little bit more about who James is. And he is the leader of the church in Jerusalem. So this is the mother church, if you will, there in the early church. And in Acts chapter 15, verses 13 and on, it goes to talk to us a little bit, describes to us James and his importance as a leader there in the early church and as a leader, as a pillar. James is a pillar of the early church, the powerful stuff. And it says in chapter 15 that Peter and Paul, they convene a council at the church in Jerusalem where James is the leader. And here's the issue. The issue is, are we going to go after the Gentiles? Are we going to share the God? Are we going to invite the Gentiles into the grace of Jesus Christ? Did Jesus come for the world, or did he only come for the Jew? And so they convene there, and the man that moderates that whole thing is James. They're the leader of the church in Jerusalem, and they walk away, and they all affirm, Peter and Paul and James affirm as the leaders with the rest of the congregation and the rest of the disciples who were there, the decision to take the gospel message to the whole world, that the Gentiles are included, and we need to embrace and invite them in to this gospel message because Jesus came to save the world. So James was a leader of the church in Jerusalem. And then finally, I want you to know that James was writing. Who is he writing to? Well, he is writing to suffering Jewish Christians. These are Jewish Christians who had been scattered outside of Jerusalem. Of course, we know that he was not only writing to them, but he was writing to us tonight as well. Isn't that wonderful to know? That God's word applies to us today. And so we see it says to the 12 tribes dispersed. So we know what that means. The 12 tribes, the 12 tribes of Israel. James is the leader of the Jerusalem church. There had been this great persecution that had come upon the church. We don't have time to really talk much about it or to look into it. We've run out of time, but here's what happened. In Acts chapter 7, a deacon, and we're going to ordain some deacons on, I think it's the 28th, on a Wednesday night. I hope you'll be here. A deacon was the first Christian martyr, Stephen. I mean, what a powerful chapter. And you come to the end, and there's Saul, who God's going to call to be his missionary and apostle to the Gentiles. There he is, affirming the death of Stephen, and not long after that, God's going to meet him and change his life, Jesus is, but there he is, and Stephen dies as a martyr, and it says in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, after that, those Jewish Christians were dispersed. It says, Saul agreed with putting him to death. On that day, a severe persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and they all began to be scattered throughout the land of Judea and Samaria. And so that's where it all began. So there began the people had been persecuted, but now there is just this severe persecution. And so Jewish Christians were being scattered. Now, God had his hand. We're going to see even in James that God's hand is in trials and God's hands are in our tribulations, and God works things together for good, and he's at work and he's in control. And so even when they were scattered, God was using that to take the gospel out further and faster to reach people. But these Jewish Christians were scattered outside of Jerusalem. They were dispersed because of persecution. They were, and so we need to understand this, going into next week, because next week we're going to be looking at trials that believers go through. And we need to understand this original audience. Listen, James is writing to a persecuted people. They were persecuted from every which angle. They were persecuted by the Romans because they were under the heavy hand of the Roman government. And so they were going through that great persecution. But then they were persecuted by their Jewish brothers because they were Jewish Christians. And so their Jewish brethren hated them because they had trusted in Jesus as the Messiah. They had nowhere to turn. Everywhere they looked, it was persecution. They couldn't buy bread to eat. They couldn't go down to the store. They were spit upon. They were beaten. They were mocked. They had nothing going for them when it came to the world. They were under severe persecution. They were poor, they were oppressed, and they were suffering. But James will encourage us that there are trials and there are temptations, but faith in Jesus is the victory. There are trials and there are temptations, but we can have faith in the resurrected one, and he will see us through. He will bring us through, and we can trust him every step of the way. It may not make sense. We may not know the answer at the moment, but we can trust in him because he is good. And so James is going to help us understand that the faith that God calls us to is a growing, active faith in Jesus. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you for your goodness. Lord, help us to have the kind of humility that we see in Scripture from the men and women of the heroes of our faith. God, help us to understand tonight that while suffering is very real and trials are real, that faith is the victory. Lord, may we have our faith in Christ, and may we not turn our eyes to the left or the right, but may we stay focused on you. Lord, bring us back on Sunday morning ready to worship, and God, move in our midst, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.